Joining us down the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro. You took part in the top 50, right, Ray?
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't miss it.
No, it's always great. Seem to have the same conversation every time, that you can get through about 10, 15, 20 players, and you'll have them listed a little bit differently, but once you get to about 25 through, like, 75, you have no idea what you're supposed to do.
Well, you know how you make this stop? All of us say to the quizmaster, not in our contracts, extra 5K for our list. Then we don't do the list.
He'll do it himself, and he'd probably prefer that anyway.
Probably be a better list.
Yeah, probably would be.
Yeah, it would be very
thoughtful.
Why don't
we just leave it to him next year? Just say, go ahead.
No, the ultimate slap in the face, which he would not appreciate, is if you cut and paste his guideline and just use that as your list.
I think there's a part of him that wants that.
He would come through the phone and scissor kick you. So, no, once you get into the exercise, it's really good, but getting to it is a battle because I find it adds a bit of stress because I start to overthink things.
Well, I find it's like my taxes. I keep having a intention of getting started, and then I'm like, holy smokes, I got to get this done. Yeah. Like, that's what it feels like to me. And I like doing the little bit of the research for it because I'm like, man, I forgot about that guy. Or you think, you don't quite realize what a good season somebody else is having. And the one complaint you hear pretty consistently from, like, if you're on a station in Calgary or Edmonton, is, you hear, oh, those Toronto guys, they don't watch our market. You can't watch 3,000 hockey games a year. So, of course, you're going to see some guys more than you see others. And you're not going to have somebody rated as high that you don't see as much, most likely. And then you got to dig into the stats, and you got to try and visualize what you see with what the stats are telling you. And then you end up with a list that's imperfect. But the reason they do it is because it always spurs some kind of conversation.
Yeah, it always does. And, goaltenders, Noodles made the case for them prior to you coming on. I think defensemen.
They should have their own list.
Yeah, that might be the way to go. But.
It is. It's tough because I made a joke about it that, we can see these guys.
Tell them what you said to us.
I said, flat out. I don't know what my verbiage was, is these idiots who vote decide that a goaltender, like, for example, Connor Hellebuck's been the best goaltender who's hit the ditch lately, and he drops all the way down in people's minds to mid-20s, where a goal scorer in the top 10 could dry up for 13 games and score 2 goals in 13 games, but we don't factor that in. We just look at the end result. So
okay, so I got Hellebuck at 20. So am I an idiot? One of these idiots?
I think you are.
Me and Brian are.
We all are. I had
him
at 18.
So no,
I had him at 11 or something.
I had him at 11 too.
Goalie though, Noodles. Does that count for anything?
What's that?
I have him for the best goalie. Does that count for anything?
I was teasing with the word idiot. It was a very derogatory. I apologize.
Don't apologize.
My point being is that I just find it tough that if that's the most important position, but yet a guy who's got 22 goals and had a great season by his standards, like, how do you measure a goaltender against that? Like, where? Well, that's why I think you migrate them together.
We have that conversation all the time on this show where you will take issue as a lifelong goalie and someone who knows them much better than anyone else on this conversation, and anyone else in the building or on the street or whatever, I find that the stats don't help the goaltenders in conversations with guys that are informed like you are. What I mean by that is, if I came to you and said, well, this guy's got a .935 save percentage, he's the best goalie, you'll be like, no, he's not. Where if a guy's got 40 goals, he's the best goal scorer.
Right.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, you look at the stats for the players, and you're like, this guy's unbelievable.
And let's just do it by position.
But that's why it's so great. This is a great spirited debate. Like, I'm defending the goaltenders. There's going to be a defenseman out there going, hold on a second. John Carlson's dominating this league statistically. why is he not in the top three? Which, you know,
that's valid. I understand.
I think it's a valid
from.
Argument, but it depends on what you value. I try to be subjective. That's why I think Connor Hellebuyck, I think a couple weeks ago I told you I had him in my top five.
Right.
I took him out because of his last little stretch here. But I also, you know, I have to be honest about other players too. I went through and looked at, you know, Patty Kane, for example, had 3 goals in 12 games to start the season. That wasn't, you know, top 50 worthy, but then he came on and he's Patrick Kane. And, you know, so like to me, there's all different excuses if you want to dig into it. I don't know what the formula is as to where to start those, for lack of better words, non-statistical positions like goaltending or defense.
So in my mind, the best way to do it is to not have the goalies on the list. You're picking the best 50 skaters in the league. And then you have,
top 20 goalies.
Your 5 or 7 best goalies. Because I do think it's impossible to, in most cases, compare a goalie to a left winger. Like how do you
right?
How do you do it? I struggle with that every time when I'm, you know, when I'm trying to put this list together.
Yeah, so
I don't know. Like you get. All of a sudden, I've got all these skaters, and I'm like, holy crap, I got no goalies. Okay, so I literally start with no goalies, and then I just drop them in. And then I go, no, that doesn't look right either, and I move them around. And they screw up the drill for me every time.
I don't disagree with you. I believe that there should be a separate list, and you can just do like a top 5 or top 10. Like, you don't need to do, like, because realistically, now with the platoon system, like, does Ben Bishop deserve to be when his backup has almost played as much as him?
Right. Well, so, Darcy Kuemper, who got injured.
Right.
But Kuemper only had 25 starts, I believe, and he's in the top 50.
Right. So
Tristan Jarry.
If I wanted to protect Connor Hellebuck's stats, well, Laurent Brossoit would start 8 more games. And we'll see how that goes with that defensive core. Like, you know, that's what I, you know, that's my argument, because I have a formula where I look at starts, wins, save percentage, have saves that he's been forced to make. Like, Freddie Anderson's one of the busiest goaltenders in the league, so is Hellebuyck. Like, there's so many different factors that come into it. So, yeah, there's stretches where they've been pulled or they've been terrible. I don't value that any less than a guy who's dried up for 10 games.
Yeah, that's valid. That is valid. And that, I mean, it doesn't, it's a list. It doesn't
exactly
really matter. It's always fun to go over, and I'm sure a lot of people will. So go to tsn.ca and fire off jabs at us for why we're all idiots.
Yeah, Ray, we were talking earlier in the show about, like, commitment to playoffs and where you think your team is at. There was a quote from the Raptors, Masai Ujiri, saying they're going to die trying to make them better or something to that effect. Where do you think their team is at as far as approaching the trade deadline and what you would do or what the players deserve or need or just any kind of angle you would take?
You mean for any team or for the Leafs?
Just the Leafs.
I think they have to take a look and say, okay, this is where we are. How many pieces is it going to take to make us significantly better? Because to get a few points better, I would stay pretty well past. If I can find a deal that makes my team significantly better, then I'd be really, really interested in it. I would be really careful about sacrificing 3/4 of my future for right now, because eventually, no, not eventually, very soon, it'll be that future that you don't have any draft picks for. Because one thing we do know is that when you trade your picks, those players play younger now than they've ever played before. And if you have a hole in your development chain where you've traded a first, a couple of seconds, a couple of thirds over a 3-year period, all of a sudden you have no players in a certain age group. And you get to that pretty quickly. Look, I think there are times we overreact with how good the Leafs are or how bad they are. But if they can't find a way to better their defense in a significant manner, I wouldn't be blowing out assets all over the place for the future. I just I just wouldn't. I wouldn't worry that, oh my God, we're wasting a potential 50-goal year from Austin Matthews. I want to make the team as good as I can, but I can't do it for all this year and say, oh, we'll figure it all out next year. That's bad. That's bad management, man. You're going to get burned on that for sure.
Yeah, I think they've got, the players have 14 games between now and the trade deadline to make the decision for Kyle Dubas. And I know that's not a popular take here in Toronto because people want him to be on the trade call today. Like, be ready, have someone in Nashville on Monday to play. But you're on the outside of the playoffs looking in. You already don't have your first-round pick. If you miss, it's going to Carolina. Even if you make, it's going to Carolina. But you got 14 games to figure this out. And I think it's all on the players. And I have an appreciation for that because it should be on the players. Yeah, they've got injuries, and that's legitimate. But every team has injuries. Mm-hmm. A lot of them got paid and got paid a lot of money. Let's go. Like I, it's disappointing and frustrating that they're in a position like this, year four of the Matthews, Marner, Nylander era, where you are even having this conversation. Should they do this? Should they do that? But that's who they are through 49 games. It's all self-inflicted. They put themselves in this position, and I'm with you, Ray. Dubas can't spend like a drunken sailor. He can't get stupid here because they might miss anyway. Imagine you go out and load up on all these players and trade picks and assets, and you miss.
Yeah, that would.
Then you're really in trouble.
Well, I mean, for 25 years, Detroit made the playoffs, and you know they started to mortgage their future more and more and more. Datsuk and Zetterberg and Lidstrom got older, and they traded more and more draft picks, and then a couple of those picks that they do have, they don't hit, and then all of a sudden you're where they are now. At least Detroit had success, and they were willing to take those risks because of the success they had, and the players were getting older. They don't, I mean, the fans probably don't want to agree with this, but they don't need to take those risks in Toronto yet. They're going to get some cap relief. They're going to be able to remake their defense in the summer. They'll have decisions to make, but with only Riley under contract, they can completely remake that group. You'll have Sandin there, of course, but will you re-sign Travis Dermott? Now you've got Justin Hall signed. Will you re-sign Jake Muzzin? Well, you'll have Timothy Liljegren. Like, they're going to change a lot of that defense, and they'll have some cap room because you'll blow out CeCe's $5 million, right? Like, that's gone for sure. They'll make some movement up front. But maybe you can't do that right now, even if you want to. Maybe you just can't do it right now.
Yeah, I think that makes all the sense in the world. Because I think that's going to happen anyway. Like, even if they get in, go on a run, there's going to be a lot of turnover and change here, and has to happen.
Tyson Barrie.
He's gone, too.
Yeah, Tyson Barrie, he's out the door for sure. But I like it. I mean, it's on the players. Like, in a market like this, and it probably applies to every Canadian market, the coach factors in, the GM factors in, and the GM, there's pressure on Dubas between now and the trade deadline. But there's going to be a bunch of games after the trade deadline. So it's on. Like, put it this way. What Keith said about his team, which was accurate, I think most people concurred. They were immature in Florida, immature against Chicago. If Babcock said it, the knives would have been out for Babcock. Why are they still immature under your tutelage? Why can't you get them to grow up? Why can't you get them to do this? Sheldon Keith says it, and people are like, yep, he's right. Come on, guys. Like, it's all on the players. 33 games, all on the players. Let's see what you got. Because there's no guarantee your GM's going to do anything for you. He might. But if he doesn't, it doesn't mean you throw up the white flag.
You're still in the honeymoon phase with Sheldon Keefe.
Right.
Those comments would have been explosive under Mike Babcock.
It would have been wildfire here. We'd still be talking about them, which I guess in a way we are.
Right.
But with like vitriol, and right. Babcock would have been on the firing line if he said those comments.
Right.
Well, and mainly as you touched on, Brian, because he'd been there 4 or 5 years. And the... You know, the view would have likely been, yeah, but if they're immature and you're still, and you've been the guy coaching them, then that's on you.
Right.
But right now it's a new coach, and you can look at that and say, well, he's trying to break some habits that these guys have and maybe the old way that they used to play. And so there is some rope for those comments to be played around with.
All right, buddy. We'll, I guess, catch up with you after the All-Star break on Monday when the Leafs are in Nashville.
Yeah, I'll be down there for Monday, and we'll see what the second half. I always call it the second half, even though they're well into it, but we'll see what the second half starts out like.
Yeah, they need to get rocking pretty quickly. It's not going to be easy, but we'll see. All right, buddy, enjoy the weekend. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yeah, you guys too. Talk to you then.
There's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. They will pay your holiday bills up to $1,000 when you lease or finance a new in-stock vehicle in January. Visit MapleToyota.com. Noodles, I think you got your wish. I'm seeing online that maybe Laurent Brossoit will be starting for the Jets tonight.
He was, though. It's a back-to-back.
Was he starting anyway? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, they played last night.
I just saw someone tweet out. Yeah. Laurent Brossoit will be starting tonight.
Larry Brossoit.
Okay, there you go.
He's not had a great season.
We'll see.
It's going to be restricted.